remembrance. Cha and mat, mine. Anugrahat, by the mercy of. Translation. Intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time, even at the time of creation, as well as at the time of annihilation. Your remembrance will continue by my mercy. Purport. Devotional service rendered to the personality of Godhead never goes in vain. Since the personality of Godhead is eternal, intelligence applied in his service or anything done in his relation is also permanent. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that such transcendental service rendered unto the personality of Godhead accumulates birth after birth. And when the devotee is fully matured, the total service counted together makes him eligible to enter into the association of the personality of Godhead. Such accumulation of God's service is never vanquished, but increases till fully matured. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simada Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine. Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Patkatyare Shatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let us hear once again the verse. Matirmayi nivaddeyam navipatyeta karahichit Braja sarga nirodhepi smritischamat anugrahat. Intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time, even at the time of creation, as well as at the time of annihilation. Your remembrance will continue by my mercy. This is a special blessing given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to anyone and everyone who has engaged himself or herself in his service. In the first canto of this Bhagavata, text number, let us say chapter number 5, it is described what happens when the most tragic event in the life of a devotee goes on. That is, the devotee becomes so much bewildered by the external energy that he leaves Krishna consciousness. He just stops. He bloops. One morning you wake up and you ask, where is so-and-so? He's not seen. Then you look around and you find all his luggage is gone and there is a letter written, I'm sorry, I could not continue the process of devotional service. And the ink in which the letter is written is smeared by the pitiful cries and tears of the poor Vaishnav. Yes. So, what happens to such a person who was once engaged in Krishna consciousness and goes away? My dear Vyasa, Narada Muni explains this point to Srila Vyasadeva, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down, somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like the karmis, because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. So it is, Prabhupada explains here. There are certainly many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down due to uncongenial association, just like karmis, who are always prone to degradation. But even though he falls down, a devotee is never to be considered the same as a fallen karmi. And then he said, Prabhupada gives an example. A devotee is like a beloved prince of a mighty king. The father, the king, will always try to take care, even if the prince is lying on the street, whereas a karmi is like an orphan. Do you know what is an orphan? Someone who, a child which has been forsaken by his parents. He's usually brought, also ein Waisenknabe. He's brought into an orphanage, Waisenanstalt oder so, Waisenheim. So, such a child is hopeless. Whereas someone who has a rich father, like a prince who has a king, oh, he has good hopes. The father always sends some money, and you know, sometimes he tells his ministers, dress very poorly, take this gold, and you would see my son, he's lying under the bridge. You just go there, and you just, when he sleeps, puts it in his pocket. Please do so. And he says, I hope he comes back and gets some good intelligence after some time. This is what happens to a devotee who gives up the process of devotional service. Krishna comes and makes arrangements for this devotee. If he likes a devotee very much, he takes everything away from him. Nothing works. Why is nothing working out, says such a poor, foolish devotee? What has happened? That if Krishna loves a devotee very much, he takes everything away from him. Have you sometimes experienced this also? Krishna has taken everything away from me. But as long as there's prasadam, I don't mind. Krishna takes away beauty. When we get older, or when we get fat by all the nice prasadam, beauty goes. Krishna takes away our novats, our money. Even if we come from good families, Krishna takes away our prestige, isn't it? Some of you might come from high class family. I do not know, but if you go next Saturday to Trier, you will be called idiots by the karmis. I remember once I was meditating about this. I was sitting in a car and I was just resting a little bit before going out on Sankirtan. It was a marathon. And the car was somehow not parked, just 100% perfect. And I was just sleeping a little on the seat. All of a sudden, some very enraged conditioned soul, he was so mutant, so angry, opened the door of the car and screamed at me, "You idiot! You're blocking my way! I need to get out here!" I just was laughing and saying, "This is what you get. Even your high position in this world is nothing." I could have said, "I'm a sannyasi. I'm guru. Don't call me idiot." I'm getting flowers sometimes. This is not fair to call me idiot. But I knew it was pointless. Plus, he was right. So Krishna takes away our position, our money, our learning. Yes. So that we just turn towards Him. This is Krishna's mercy. If Krishna would leave us with our material abilities so that we could become great successes, or even maybe falsely inflated by a false ego, this would be very bad for us. We would have no chance. But one thing He will never take away from a devotee, that is the remembrance of Krishna. You might lose everything in this life. Your body, your balance, your peace. See, you might have noticed sometimes in the movement for Krishna consciousness, you don't get so much peace. Isn't it? Our Vaishnavas from Zagreb, they work all day at the Karuna Bhavanski. Not very peaceful. Throwing big stones. Our Bhakta Nenad is a student from the university, and now he carries big stones and throws them somewhere. It's not a very peaceful job, so to say, from morning till evening. You might lose many things, but Krishna will never, never take away the memory that how nice Krishna consciousness is. If you have made a little advancement on this path, Krishna never takes away the memory. You will always remember this. Even sometimes we meet devotees who have given up the practices of devotional service. And they feel very distressed even. They never forget Krishna, Krishna. It was so nice. It was so good. So, on a very advanced... but sometimes... See, it will. What I want to express is that this memory will always come back, but it might be that momentarily you lose it also. Momentarily. On the long run, everyone who has once performed devotional service will always remember it. But on the short run, sometimes we become so much covered by the mode of ignorance and passion that we remember that we forget momentarily our engagement in devotional service. At that time we might act out of routine, but we don't think of Krishna. Does this sometimes happen to you? Yeah, Anumata, it's sometimes. Oh good, then I'm not alone, then I'm in good company at least. We momentarily forget, and this is because we are not yet on a steady stage of devotional service. See, in our last class, today I would like to discuss with all of you the second verse of the four essential verses of the Bhagavad Gita. You remember, the first verse was, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So here we hear of someone who has been engaged in devotional, who engages in devotional service because he understands the glories of Krishna. Now, let us study him a little bit more. How is he? What type of person is he? This is expressed in the second verse of the Chatur Shloki of the Bhagavad Gita. Machita matgata prana bodayanta parasparam katayantas chamang nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So here we hear of pure devotees whose mind always meditates about Krishna, and they cannot live without Krishna, just like a fish out of the water. It cannot live. Sometimes it's very, very wondrous, also sehr seltsam. You know, people who are not in Krishna consciousness, they seem to also be happy. Have you noticed? They jump around, they dress nicely, they make a lot of money, they certainly don't have the symptoms of a dead person. But we understand that this is not real life. They are totally engaged in Maya, in illusion, and therefore in the Bhagavatam it says, the hands which are not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord are like the hands of a duh, of a ghost. The eyes which do not see the deities of the Lord, they are like the eyes printed on the peacock feathers. They look like eyes, but they are not. The legs which don't go to the Kham, the temple of the Lord, they are like the stumps of tree. Have you seen sometimes when woodcutters cut trees, then these Stümpfe, these stumps are there. Stumps are there. They don't move. The day before yesterday, Anumanta and myself, we imitated the saints of the Ramayana, and we walked through the Shumi, through the forest, without using the regular footpath. And we came to an area where there were these stumps of the tree, and it looked so dead, isn't it? We felt this is almost like a graveyard here. So this is what happens if your legs don't go to the temple. If you sleep in the morning, this is what happens if you don't see Krishna. You're like, the eyes are not really seeing. They're engaged with dead matter. They're not engaged with the spiritual on the spiritual platform. The lungs may breathe, but it's like the lungs of the, how do you call this? Bellows, the Blasebälge, yes, from the blacksmith, yeah. You know these bellows? It's not living. It performs the function of the lungs in inflating, and the opposite of inflation, but it's not life. Material life is not accepted to be life. So devotees, they live their spiritual life by being always engaged in with great pleasure tushthanti, in devotional service and in thinking about Krishna. So the devotee, he can really not live without engagement in devotional service, and not he can't feel happy in an atmosphere without devotional service. It's just not possible. I want to give you an example. Are there people who you like very much? Please think of that person whom you like very much. Okay? I won't ask you who this is, because it's a private thing. Is there someone you can think of, Nenad? Yeah. Even if it's an old friend who's not in Krishna consciousness, just someone whom you like very much. Anumanta, you have someone in your mind. Now imagine the following scenario. You come into an association of people and they just blaspheme that person. Oh, so and so is just the worstest homosexual on the world. Or so and so is just such a low class prostitute, it's impossible even to mention her name in my presence. Please don't never mention her name. She's just the most evil minded witch or bitch or whatever it is. Yes. Imagine, how would you feel? Terrible, isn't it? If that is the person, you would immediately think of, you know, minor war operations, or you would immediately think of leaving the place, or you just would go like, to that person, isn't it? How did you feel just a minute ago? Wasn't that your natural reaction? So this is how a devotee feels in the material world, where Krishna is blasphemed, where Krishna is not accepted. He can't tolerate being in such an atmosphere. He can't tolerate in being such an environment where Krishna is just ignored or blasphemed or just walked over, or just he doesn't feel well. Isn't this how a devotee sometimes feels when he goes to his old friends and they hear from morning till evening music which he even used to hear, and you know, they put on the TV and there is an action thriller movie. But the devotee knows Krishna is not here, and he feels this very like in a desert. Do you know this feeling? Isn't it? You come back to your old friends or to your family members, and the atmosphere is just an ungodly atmosphere, and you want to go away. You don't know. And everyone asks, "Why stay a little longer?" "Oh, it's very, it's impossible for me to stay longer. It's it's so late already." You know, you just want to get away, isn't it? So devotee, he will always be in an atmosphere where Krishna is remembered. Even if he is alone in the desert, he will create that atmosphere. Because he doesn't want to be a dead person any longer. He wants to be the fish in the water, not the fish outside of the water. Such a devotee, a very interesting thing. So, when a devotee comes to the platform of Ashakti, that's attachment to Krishna, then he realizes that, my mind was overwhelmed by material life. My mind was overwhelmed by illusions. I chanted my rounds and my mind went to the moon. Oh, what a fool. I had the most precious jewel, but I put a cloth over it so that I couldn't see it. This is how a devotee thinks. Then the devotee, when he is in Shakti, he will always think, where can I hear more about Krishna? And he will go to an association of devotees and he will sit down and not sleep. He is very eager. Where can I hear more about Krishna? Without hearing about Krishna, my life is just wasted. Feeling like this. He has great taste. And in this taste, he feels no fatigue, keine Müdigkeit. You know, the Prabhupada couldn't sleep. He had this problem. He could not sleep. Even when he was lying down pro forma, he was chanting Hare Krishna. I remember this. When Srila Prabhupada was sleeping in Schloss Rettershof, I used to go on the balcony and watch him whilst he was sleeping, and his lips were going Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And, yes. Then one time Prabhupada got operated. And they put anesthesia in his body. But he was going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He's chanting. They phoned the temple and said, when is this old man going to stop? This is very unnatural. He's always continuing to speak this. When is he stopping? Then we said, he cannot stop. This is what happens on the higher stage of Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So such devotees, they are not deluded. They are fully under the protection of Krishna's internal energy. they are fully engaged in devotional service, always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me. These great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. This is explained in 9.13 to 9.14. Yeah. Why are we not like this? What's wrong with you? Janavi. No, don't be shocked. What's wrong with you, Dominique? Dominique says he has forgotten. No, you can hear every day about Krishna. You're every day standing before Krishna. The point is, we have anathas in our heart. Described, when we are having anathas in our heart, we may feel sometimes fatigue in the practice of devotional service. Anathas, these are sinful desires which are there within our heart. They're ready to jump on us when we are a little unattentive. Have you ever tamed a tiger? Maybe not. In my young days, I was reading about this, how one man, you know, one day opened, you know, the door, and there was a postman, and he said, "We brought a box with us." And then, okay, then he was unwrapping the box, and then he found a letter from his friend. "My dear Hermann, be careful when you open this box. It's a tiger inside." So the man thought, what? And then he understood his friend indicated that maybe he should become a dompteur. Is it a dompteur? Or what is the name? A tiger trainer? Or, you know, in the circus, they go like, and then they say, "Alle hop," and then the tiger jumps through the wheel of fire. What are these people called? Tiger trainers, maybe. The Deutsche word is dompteur. So this man thought, all right, and he got a manual on how to train a tiger. And then it is described when he for the first time went in the manege, in the place where the tiger was. He had 10 friends who had ropes around the tiger. So he came in, and the tiger immediately ran towards him. It was pulled back by the rope, and then again he ran and ran, and then finally he had a thick leather jacket like this, but the tiger just one time made like, and he came too close, and it just ripped away the leather jacket like a piece of, if he was dressed in newspapers, no problem for the tiger. This is how our mind is. If we don't control him, if we come too close to these sinful desires of sex, we want sex. We want to enjoy this and that, records, our old friends, our old jivat, our old life, huh? Oh, then the tiger of the mind can be very, 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 very heavy. Mm. the tiger of the mind can sometimes even stop a person from acting. It happens in Krishna consciousness that you cannot act enthusiastically. Once there was a psychotherapist, there's a very good example for this, who met a lady. You know, he had a patient, a lady, and this lady had a problem. She could not work. It wouldn't work. So they went through a very complicated psychoanalyse, psychoanalyst, and in the psychoanalyst they found out maybe when you worked as a child, your father was slapping you, and then you lost all desire to work, and everything, you know, maybe she had an authority complex. That is, when someone says to you something, you go like, you can't do it because the fact that someone tells you totally disturbs you. So they went through a very complicated psychoanalysis. But even after half a year, the lady just couldn't go to her. She went to her working place, but could not fulfill her work. Couldn't do anything. Then one day the psychotherapist had an idea. He said, when you get a cake, what do you eat first? And she answered, well, the frosting. Frosting, I had to look it up myself. I didn't know what it is in English. It's, you know, what you put on top. Icing. It's called icing. Yeah, glazur. Yeah. Ja, aber mit Glasier ist nur so was Weißes, durchsichtig. Icing, I think, is the right word in English. Glasur ist, glaube ich, nur dieses, so was so durchsichtig ist. Zuckerglasur, aber auch die Himbeeren und alles, was da drauf ist. My cook sometimes get frustrated because when the plate comes back, there's a pizza, you know, with just the dough is left and I have just taken what is on top. Cooks are sometimes very frustrated with me. Or, you know, I get a piece of bread and then I just take the marmalade and smear. What I do, I put it on another piece so that it's double. Yeah. Isn't it? Narayani, I think you must have seen often. So the question was, what do you take first? And she said, ja, the icing. Wie wird man in Deutsch sagen? Also Füllung ist es nicht. Der Belag vielleicht. Der Kuchenbelag. And then the psychotherapist get an idea. He asked, now when you have different works to do, what is the one which you could maybe do? He said, I'm picking that little piece which I like to do. The rosine. Ah, said the psychoanalyst, now we have the thing. You always take what is most pleasurable to you. You always look only for the pleasure. But pleasure is very little in this world. You know, Sigmund Freud used to say in his book, Civilization and Discontent, Unbehagen in der Zivilisation. People always go for the nectar, but it always turns into poison. He almost spoke like reciting a Bhagavad Gita verse. So when you only want what is angenehm, what is pleasurable for you, you will have the same problem like the lady. After some time, you just can't work any longer. You can't do anything. You become totally arbeitsunfähig, you know, unable to do anything. Therefore, if you want to grow up into a mature person, you have to learn to delay your gratification. But what this means in Deutsch is, du musst es lernen, deine, das, was dir Spaß macht, verzögern, warten zu lassen. Nicht immer wupp zu dem zu gehen, was du unbedingt willst. Don't always go, where is the enjoyment, where is the pleasure? This is very important in devotional service. You only do things because you like, you pick out the raisins, so to say. You will be a very frustrated devotee. Do some sacrifice. Mach ein kleines Opfer. Do things out of duty. Mach Dinge aus einem Pflichtbewusstsein heraus. And then you will start to enjoy your life. This even is the case in material life. Someone who only wants, who is a happiness addict, ein Glückssüchtiger, he will always suffer. This is the nature of this world. You want to grow up in your spiritual life, learn to, you know, do some tapasya and put the pleasure of the things out. Like, I was so happy. See, I'm doing this work, very heavy work for me, where I work on 4 different seminars, just very complicated things. And sometimes I'm sitting and I just, my mind screams, no, I don't want to work. I want to enjoy. I want to talk with Anumanta. I want to eat Kalyani's prasadam from morning till night, you know, and sleep and so on. I just don't want to work all the time. Isn't it? Do you sometimes have this also? Our Janavi is having a very ambitious study project. The whole Bhagavad Gita in two weeks, or not even two weeks. And the mind sometimes screams, no, Janavi, no, anything else, you know, just talk with Narayani, or, you know, just anything, you know, eat and sleep, but don't, you know, isn't it? Have you noticed? Okay, then I'm not alone. Or, you know, when you do the Bhakta book, oh, no, anything else. You know, again I have to read corrections and so on and so forth. Or if you have some place in your service, oh no, I don't want to go to nobody's land again. Or it's Sangitan, oh no, I can't see these kamis on the street. Isn't it Hangzhou? Sometimes it's there. Where is the cake for me? Isn't it? Sometimes your name is easy. Yes. Sometimes we want to be easy goers. Not only in name, but in action also. Because we have not learned to do what is maybe not so pleasurable in the beginning. Like, the best seminar of the three is, you know, my death seminar. That is where I'm totally enthusiastic. My pen just flows over the pages, and that's what I like most. But I have to do one on psychology, which is just so... I don't know why Gadadhar had to torture me like this and gave me a title for the university, Spiritualität and Psychologie. He knew that I was into this before, but now it's such a drag. I'm reading again Jung and Freud and Mach, Matchloch or whatever his name was, you know. And have to pick out some quotes to appear learned. And no, mine just, and then I have to write so many letters, and everyone asks me, problem, problem, problem. Mine goes, no. But what I do is, I start with the letters. The letters are not the I start with the Psychologie und Spiritualität. And then, I'm, because I have to do it for Krishna, then I'm finished. After 1 hour, I finish after 1 hour. Then I'm very happy and very strong still in the mind. Then I go to the letters. Then after 1 hour, I go to the calm messages. Oh. Then I go to death and dying. And then I'm fully enthusiastic. And I also... Prabhupada and his disciples in Germany. Ever read this? The evening. In this way, I keep going. You can keep going. So you have to learn this little art. Delay your gratification. Verzögere deine Befriedigung. You know, just do tapasya. If it's something which you can do for Krishna. Second art which you can learn, take responsibility in your life. Third art, always say the truth. Always live the truth. And fourth art, don't allow yourself to be corrected by others. Some say, oh, I really want to be praised, and I don't mind if I'm ruined by the praise. Now, a devotee should sometimes ask, do you see something? Can I do something better? Some idea how I could improve? This is usually the business, the sad duty of the spiritual master. You have to correct his disciples, and sometimes they cry, sometimes they protest. Yes, Prabhupada said it's a thankless task. No one wants to do it who is a Vaishnava, but the Guru has to do. Oh. So, sometimes we'll say, so let us be open for this to be corrected, to improve. We can do it ourselves even. Can look and, how am I doing? Oh, not so good. Maybe I can do this better. You can do it yourself. You know the philosophy. Anyways, this was a little on the subject matter of intelligence, being engaged in Krishna service, remembering. Thank you very much for caring to listen. Do you have any questions? Sisi Goni Tai Ki Jai. Your name is Jelko, I believe. Yes, Jelko. Yeah. Jelko fühlt sich manchmal sehr stark in der körperlichen Auffassung des Lebens. Liegt das an Anathas? Liegt es an sinful activities? Was it due to sinful activity? Yes. No? Well, there are many causes. it is described, the bodily conception is like a knot, which is in the heart, the knot of the Lajna and ego. It binds us to a certain identity of, you know, certain character. So this is the reason for this bodily conception. It is described, fear arises when the eternal soul becomes identified with a temporary body, and then this knot in the heart, it is tightened, you understand, becoming more strong by material activities. If I do some sinful activity, for instance, then I think more I am the body. I'm getting more, you know, it becomes more, and I want to do the sinful activity again. Sex is such a thing. You know, you do sex activities and you totally become convinced you're the body. And then, now, this is not really the main problem. The main problem is you want to do it again and again and again. A sanskara is born by this. It's called an impression, which drags you back to this. Like a murderer who is dragged back to the corpse, which he, you know, the man he killed. Or it's described to be like a tiger. You know, when the tiger eats one time, drinks one time human blood, that's when he turns into a man-eater. Have you heard about men eating tigers? It's actually not totally natural. You know, but sometimes it happens. They just get the blood, then they want it again and again, because it has a certain taste, the human blood, which is different from the animal blood taste. So this is how these sinful activities are. You get the taste, Jericho. And the tightness, the knot, you know. So if you sometimes go back into the... But then there's also habits, you know. You thought you were a Croatian for so long, maybe 20 years of your life, or you thought you were a man, or you thought you were... You've forgotten that you are an eternal soul, part of Krishna. So it's not only sinful activities, it's just sometimes the mode of ignorance. I think we all know this as practicing Krishna conscious devotees. Sometimes we don't think we are eternal souls. We just doubt it, our minds. Really? I'm existing after death? Now I can't imagine, because I have worked yesterday the whole day on this point of how we are eternal souls in the body. But, you know, sometimes the ignorance comes. What if it's not true? Our mind says. See, when you're in the mode of sattva-gun, you can't imagine that you can doubt Krishna consciousness. It's not possible. But then the ignorance comes, Jericho, and then out of nothing, there's no reason whatsoever. It's just ignorance. You become covered and don't believe in spiritual things any longer. And just think, I'm a body. Yes, I'm Taylor. It's just very strong. Therefore, be careful. You know, when you want spiritual life, don't eat, for instance, too much. You become so träge, so dull, and then you have to sleep all the time. And when you're sleeping all the time, if you sleep too much, you just... Ich weiß nicht. I don't know. You know, you just become totally dull. Isn't it? It's all very private subject matter. Therefore, we don't eat too much, if possible. Sometimes it's not possible because it's so good, the prasadam. Yeah, is this? What to do? Associate with devotees, Jelko. Come to the morning program. I mean, in other words, give yourself some regulations, even if you don't feel like this. Read. Not a day should go by where you don't read. Your spiritual master, I know, he is very, very intense on this Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj. He studies very deeply and he wants his disciples also to do that. See, if you, for instance, if you don't read for several days, you lose the taste. Have you noticed this? And open it. In Deutsch sagt man, du stehst wie ein Ochs vom Berge. You're standing like an ox before the mountain, you know, you just go through. Therefore, and read, even if you are late in the night due to service, you could not read that day, it's before you go to bed, just one verse, even if you don't remember anything, you know, just don't lose the rote faden, the red thread. And if you work on, like you do your nice service, I can imagine Krishna gives you so much milas. Because Krishna is waiting. When can we come? Yes. Krishna wants to come here. I know this way. 100%. It depends really on your relationship. A mild way to correct the parents is like this. A mild way. See, they think they must help you. You are in an illusion actually, and you are suffering due to the illusion. So their understanding is that they do something beneficial. And they should get a Bundesverdienstkreuz, you know, a chariot, some honor, you know, they are doing they don't give up on the daughter who is actually a nice person but totally misled. We will lead her in the right direction. That is what is their paradigm. They don't. So what I did with my parents, I knew they were like this, and that was the motivation why they criticized. I said to them, I gave them an example. See, I told to my father, see, my father knows his parents didn't like that he marries my mother. Some family problem, I don't know what, but they wanted to have a 100%, you know, I don't know what they wanted, the parents of my mother. No, my father. So then my father, my grandfather spoke to my father how bad my mother is. But he loved his mother, his wife very much, and just suffered so much because of this. So you can tell your father, what if someone would criticize mother? Does your father like your mother? So that's a relevant example also. What if someone would criticize your wife, or our mother, my mother, and would say bad things about her? How would you feel? You would feel totally... Even if you were, if an outsider would say, well, you've just fallen in love with this girl, with this woman, you know, there are much better women around, you know, you would feel totally frustrated. So this is what I feel when you criticize devotees and Krishna. I've fallen in love with them. An outsider may not be able to understand, but I have fallen in love. My heart is bound. My heart is with these people. And they don't even kill a fly. They are so good. You must appreciate this. They are not violent and don't take drugs. So on. My heart is, and whenever you say it, it just, it pains me so much. And then you can cry. Just cry one time before your parents. They will never forget it. If you feel like that. But don't, if you don't, then better not, because then it's they will notice it. And then they know, better don't say anything. And the father will understand it from the example. Naraini. Yeah. Oder du hättest nötig, dass du, ja. Brennst du auch aus? Dann brennt man aus. Ja. jetzt wird das Leben genossen. Ja. Also das Krishna-bewusste Leben genossen. Ja. Tja. I always think the mind is like an ox, an oxen. You can drive it, but at one time you have to give him food and hazelnuts maybe, and you know, something. This you have to find out, Narayani, how to do it, when to give them. Because if you, it's totally true what you say. If you just go duty, service, then after some time you just break your poor mind. You just, mercy, have mercy on me. So then do something Krishna conscious, which is there, yeah. Otherwise, you will just take it all at once, and then it's also not nice, and you also feel not so Krishna conscious and so happy. You know, we Germans have many, many faults with our body, and one is, we can't have a balanced life. We always exaggerate one way or the other. This comes with our genetic conditioning. It is, for instance, known that the Germans are extremely fanatic, passionate, and so on and so forth when they are in their country. But when they go on holiday, they become nice people. Because this mode of passion is no longer so strong. Mostly it's a mode of ignorance, what the people do in holidays. But Germans outside Germany are somewhat tolerable. Inside, they are just... I know this, when I was at the Dead Sea, and saw a lot of German tourists, they were very nice to me. Oh, very, sehr interessant. Sie sind ein Mönch, ja. I'm not exaggerating, but sehr höflich, very polite. Can we help you? Do you need something? I remember I had this problem in the Dead Sea with the skin, because if there is a little gratcha, then all the salt goes in and so painful. So I went to a German. What do you do? Ah, no problem. I give you my cream, special cream for the Dead Sea. You will not feel anything. Yeah, he would never have done it in Germany. Yeah, so we have to learn balance, Narayani. This is our lesson. Ja, noch jemand? Bitte. So vergeudet habt, vielleicht in die guten Zeiten, ja. Aha. Du verstehst Englisch? Ja, gut, gut, gut. Kein Problem, also wenn ich keine die schwierigen Worte. Our young devotee has a problem. She was able to earn a lot of money, but she has no longer money. I mean, a little but not big amounts. Now she knows it's so urgently needed here. Lakshmi, she feels very impatient with herself, ungeduldig. Yeah. Gave it all away. But is it possible for you to earn again money? Why don't you, because it disturbs you that you can't give something to Krishna, why don't you try and see if it's Krishna's plan? Just make a mild try, not because I think if you have not tried it, at least you will remain unsatisfied. You feel you should do something which you cannot do at the present moment, that is support the temple. Yes, you will be glad to know we want to make the temple room there in the ground floor, and we can, why? Because we want to install wonderful deities of Panchatattva. These are very big, and we can't do this in this room, not, and also not in the room which is, you know, the new temple room is like a temporary temple room underneath here. It's also too small. So why don't you try to make some Lakshmi just for this, for the temple room, for where Krishna is worshipped, and see what happens. I wouldn't over-endeavor, also nicht eine zu starke Bemühung machen, wo man sein, where you risk your spiritual life. I wouldn't, this is certainly not what Krishna's desire is, or what Krishna's arrangement is. Just try, you know, keep your spiritual life intact, that's most important, the chanting and the reading, and that you can offer prasadam to Krishna, or not, offer food to Krishna, and then just maybe try your old contacts, see if there's something open, because you're right, materialistic society will not exist in this form for a much longer time. And you give it a good try. If it works, wonderful. If it doesn't work, wonderful. You have tried it. And then you can lose this. I think, you know, this energy which you feel, the ungeduld, this impatience, which makes you restless. The best is you engage that in Krishna service. You know, it's an energy to do work which you have at the present moment, this ungeduld, some passionate energy. If you don't engage it in Krishna service, it will eat you up. Even if the thing with the money doesn't work, let us say you try and try, but nothing comes out of it, or you would have to sell your soul. Then you should use this passionate energy maybe for something else. You come to the project and you just work, you know, that you sweat, or do something for Krishna. That's the only way diese Energie zu befreien, zu erlösen, to liberate this energy. But to be just very blunt and open, if you can make some money, oh, wonderful. You could make this temple room, and you would have, and anyone who builds a temple, he builds his place in the spiritual world. This is how the Puranas say about temple building. It's be intelligent, build a temple. I also want to help. Yeah, this will be the last question before we take prasadam. Yes? What is the main criterion? Yes, this is question is also in my mail. I read yesterday night about very easy. Prabhupada, he said we should look who is attached to Krishna. That is most probably all the spiritual masters. That's how we recognize. And then we can see who inspires us most to surrender to Krishna. We can see. After having heard from this great soul, if we feel, let me surrender, then that's good. We may hear from another great soul, but we may not have this feeling. Sometimes young devotees, they make their decisions on superficial reasons. He is so weighty. He weighs 200 kg. He must be weighty also with knowledge, you know. Bengal. Japataka Maharaj once said that someone had written him a letter. I knew when I saw you, because of your huge body, you are certainly someone very special. That's not the right criterion. I think we can feel this instinctively, that this is not the right. So sometimes we make our decisions on this basis, but this is not the right basis. We should look for the other criterion. Dobro. Good. Let us end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.